Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in, and today we're joined by Angela Cole. Angela, how are you doing today?
Doing really well, Grayson. Thank you, and thanks for having me.
It's always a joy to have you, Angela. I always love our conversations, and we're going to talk about Jesus today.
Absolutely.
We can't have a conversation without talking about Jesus, right?
No way.
But we've had you in before. You're no stranger to Hope Talks, and today we just wanted to do a follow-up, and couple things we want to talk about. Certainly your new career and just what God's doing through that, not only helping others, but yourself, like how that has been transformative for you. And we want to talk about, you know, what's happening around the church, some Bible studies and things like that, like how that's
awesome
going. But first of all, I just have a random question to throw out. So recently, it was Easter, right?
Yes.
Which is all about Jesus. Tell us something that was just meaningful to you over the Easter season. Is there just something that really was special to you that you'd like to share?
Well, of course, Easter is just special because of what it is to us. But I think the first thing that comes to mind is singing. Sunday we sang, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow."
Mm.
And it was really interesting to watch people's post and see multiple people in our area sing that song on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, it always reminds me of the depth and truth. And I think, oh, that is exactly what we need to be reminded of. Mm-hmm. So, and then the other thing was just our little one trying to understand about Jesus' death and, you know, singing and the things she learned here at church, but also just asking questions and being able to just share what Jesus did and through her 3-year-old eyes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just so special. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's not jaded. She has that faith as a child, and she's just so real about it. And it's just a sweet reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you were talking about just the response to Easter, this Easter, we actually put crosses up in front of the church, and people were able to come and put flowers on the cross.
That was powerful.
As a response for what Jesus did for us, and just as a response of us having hearts of gratitude. And I was stationed at one of the crosses. We had a ladder and helping people to get up to put flowers higher on the cross if they weren't extremely tall men. And I had this vantage point of the faces of the people, the gratitude that I saw there, and the thank yous and the emotion, but watching people trying to, as they put that flower in that chicken wire on the cross,
just express it. It was powerful.
It was so powerful because it was like there wasn't a lot of time for words, but in their faces, it was just all over people's faces. It was beautiful.
Well, it was beautiful. And I actually got to the cross and I kept my feet on the floor. You know, more brave people were climbing. But I leaned down and I looked up at first, and Pastor Billy and I just had a moment of, I mean, it was just a moment of praise together. And then I turned around and there was a friend there and we got to embrace. Mm. I mean, really at the foot of the cross. And it was just, and I walked back, and I will tell you, I was experiencing the presence of the Lord like I hadn't in a physical way in so long. Just, it was powerful.
Yeah,
it was really powerful, and just reminded us. And one thing that Pastor Adrian had said was, if you want this life in Him, and I told Mike, I said, I just want us to invite that life even more fully into our home.
Right.
Just, you know, as we have older kids and we have Ivy, and just we just want that life of Christ. His presence and His love and His hope.
And that takes me to just another thought before we get on to the first question. This is too good. You know, sometimes we'll talk to somebody and we'll ask them, are you a believer? And they're like, yeah, I invited Jesus into my heart when I was, you know,
whatever
put
age.
In the age. Mm-hmm. But the reality, as believers, we have the opportunity to daily, intentionally invite Him into everything we're doing. You know,
mm-hmm.
And those moments at the cross, Friday night at the cross, we had prayer and anointing, and God just gave me this picture as I was praying for someone who was carrying burdens of them unsnapping a backpack and it sliding down their arms to the foot of the cross. Right. And I tell that story today because it does not matter time or place. It doesn't need to be on Easter. It doesn't need to be in a church. Jesus wants to meet us and be our burden bearer. He wants us to lay our burdens down, and we can do that wherever we're at. So if anybody's carrying a burden today, I just felt like I needed to say that. Know that Jesus meets us in the moment of where we're at. We don't have to show up at church to meet Jesus.
Well, I don't know. I know we're kind of talking all over the place this morning, but one of the things we were going to talk about is my transition in my career and in my life. And what you're talking about has been very real to me, but it's something I never knew I would experience in transition, is I had found such deep trust in the Lord in my role at Kids Harbor. There was such a deep dependence, and I depended on him and learned to have a deeper faith because he placed me there. It was very important, and I tell folks, you know, use those days where you're just, where you think, why am I here? Those why am I here days are the days you grow closer to Jesus. But in the transition of having a little one again and not being in that specific place of need where the staff didn't need me or I wasn't responsible for that, I felt a little lost. It was, and I couldn't figure out what was going on with me, but it was simple things like my schedule had changed. I had a very specific schedule where I would get up before Kids Harbor started and I would have a quiet place with the Lord. Well, suddenly I didn't have a schedule. And suddenly I had a little one whose schedule changed mine really a lot, you know. And I'm telling you, it has been a journey to realize and how we find ourselves in these safe places with the Lord. But he has to, when we find in new places, it's not that he abandoned me. There were times when I thought, oh my goodness, I don't even know Jesus anymore. Yeah. That wasn't the truth, but you feel it. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me kind of thoughts. But it was learning to depend on him in a new season. It was learning to find him in a new place and knowing Jesus didn't move, I moved.
Right.
That sounds very, you know, cliche, but it was true. And I'm still, even after, you know, almost 2 years, this month will be 2 years that I'm still working through that and just really finding, I guess, my new footing with the Lord and trusting him in fresh ways. It's been a journey. So I would just say this morning, transition and change are hard. We all know that right now in the church. We all know that. Your dad, Grayson, always said nobody likes change but wet babies. it's true, and sometimes they don't like it. But but I will tell you, just keep seeking him. He doesn't leave. He doesn't move. And he has purpose in it.
You were talking about change. We don't like change, but usually on the other side of change, it deepens our faith and our trust in him. Like if he got us through that, like we were talking before we started recording today about how God used COVID, which changed everybody, and Ivy to keep you at Kids Harbor a little longer so that now you can use what you learned during those times to help other people.
And it is true. I told Grayson before we started recording, you know, I know the Lord had me walk through COVID at Kids Harbor. And every time I turn around, there's another reason. And at first I thought, you know, I have a foundational relationship with this team and together we were to do that. That is true. But just this week, I was able to help another team. And I thought, if I had not have walked through that and had to trust God and do that, I would not have had the tools. I would not have had the tools to help this team in this season. And it's just so powerful how God allows our seasons of chaos, our seasons to develop us, to use us in the days ahead.
And, you know, we're either growing or we're dying, right? There's no place where we arrive and we're just good. Like, it is a journey to glory for us as believers to continue to learn. And the enemy, you know, he doesn't leave us alone, right?
Right.
And just, I wanted to go back to something you were talking about in that transition. You were faced with some thoughts, right?
Yeah, I was.
Of, you know, where am I? And, you know, where's Jesus? And we know what the word says, right?
Yeah.
We know what the word says. And in those moments, we can still doubt. You know, we have those doubts. And something that came to my mind when you were talking, there's power in agreeing with God, even though we don't feel like it.
I was going to say, even when we don't feel it.
Yeah. And
I think that's
instead of agreeing with the thought, agreeing with what God says.
Yes.
For times of discouragement, like that is, we're to take our thoughts captive.
Absolutely.
And if we don't, the enemy will take us on a
trail we don't want to go to.
Right. So, yeah, I just feel like I'm thinking a lot of this morning about the folks that are listening, and we know that we're all going through something, right? Like, and so I'm just mindful of that this morning. And Angela, you have a lot of experience, and you're telling us about how do you navigate going through something. So you resigned at Kids Harbor, and for those that haven't listened before, tell us what you're doing.
So now, that's a funny question. I keep saying, Lord, what am I doing? You know, you think you're going to do a certain thing. You think you're,
yeah,
you know.
Our plans.
Best laid plans. Exactly. But, and when I first left Kids Harbor, and for those of you all that don't know, that's the child care center here at the church, where I was the director for 17 years. And so that was a huge change, but one that I knew. And if you're listening and you're in a season of waiting, that was a tug for 5 years. So hang on, God's in it. But, that's another testimony for another day, right? But right now I'm doing a lot of team training, team development, cultural training for teams. And one of the things I said is, I am not going to do a lot of childcare. You know, I thought, I'm doing it. The Lord has opened doors, and I'm getting to work with childcare teams, and I love it. I love it. And it's all about God saying, use that tough journey. Use that journey.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's been beautiful. And I often feel like leaders are just alone. And so when I can come alongside a leader who is sitting in a chair who feels so alone, there's nothing better. It just fills me right up.
Yeah.
And now listen, it's still trusting Jesus major big, because I know I'm in a new place. It's just like being the director. And I always said, if I think I know all the answers, I need to quit.
You're like, I thought of this just in our terminology. You're like a superintendent now of directors. You're like a mentor to them. And so it's, you know, you're being a director to directors.
Well, I am so very, very thankful. And it's just I don't know the answers. And sometimes it's really funny because I do use the Enneagram. One other thing I use as a tool in my coaching and my consulting is the Enneagram. And it's just a tool. It's a tool, though, to help people understand one another. Because one of the biggest challenges in teams working together, whether that's a ministry team, a work team, that can be retail, doctor's office. I mean, I've gotten to speak to all kinds of teams. I did a counseling team last week. Oh, so much fun. But there are people there. Regardless of where you go, there are people there. And guess what? We are quirky. And we all have personalities. And we just need to understand each other, one another better. And that helps our culture. That helps our effectiveness. Mm-hmm. That helps our stress level and our job satisfaction. But it's an investment. It's a choice. And so one thing about the Enneagram is there are believers who say, is that okay? Because of, you know, it's an ancient tool. What I have found, and I will tell you, there is nothing I want to do but point people to Jesus.
Amen.
I will never use something that I think that would not point people to Jesus. And every team that I work with, I don't get to say Jesus.
Yeah.
But I pray with every team I work with that they will see that in me, even if I don't get to mention it.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I answered your question, Margaret. What am I doing? I'm all over the place, but I'm getting to just
You're
work with
spreading
people.
Jesus.
I hope so. That is my greatest desire.
Well, you know, if the Holy Spirit lives in us
and
we enter a room, the room should be different.
Yes.
And that should,
it
should be palpable,
yes.
Actually, you know, like, because the Lord lives in us. Like,
yes.
How beautiful are the feet that bring good news? Like, that's what you're doing. And it was a step of faith.
Yeah.
And I know it was hard to take that step.
Yes.
I saw something on social media the other day. It was like, don't kick down a door to a place you haven't been invited to. Let Jesus open the door and make all the introductions. So when people say, why are you here? You can just say Jesus.
I read that too, Grayson, and I thought that is my journey right now. Because often when you're starting something new, you're like, how do I do this? Where do I go? Who wants to hear this? And I will tell you that the Lord has opened doors I would have never, ever imagined. And I mean, if you know me, I get pretty tickled. I mean, I just want to clap my hands and shout, thank you, Lord. But, and then there's some places I get to go and I get to really share, like from the Enneagram perspective and our personalities, how we can trust Jesus in that. And it is so awesome. But it's really about just meeting people where they are and helping people to do it with greater compassion and empathy and understanding and knowing that we can be understood and we can be willing to understand others.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think it's people's motives. How often are you in a place where you're like, what in the world? What are they thinking? Well, you know, they're probably thinking the same thing about us.
That's right.
But it's understanding that we all are born human. We're all born in sin, unfortunately, because of the fall. And we've all been created with these tendencies. My greatest motive as a believer is to honor and love Jesus
right.
and love others. But because I'm human, I'm born with these tendencies. And as a type 2 Enneagram, I want to be loved. I want to be appreciated. I mean, it still makes me cringe to say that out loud. But that is the truth. That is the truth. And it's what we can do with it. It's identifying what we can do with it. And when we know, you know you're a type 7, how's that helped you?
My goodness. It makes me aware. I remember sitting in a retreat beside someone and they are whatever is the feathers from a 7. No.
A 6?
No. But we were put at the same table and they are very quiet. I'm trying to think if they're a 1.
I was going to say, were they a 1 or a 9? We're very.
And so I realized in that moment that I was going to have to tone it down and not talk. You know, like as much and tone, you know,
even volume, just that excitability of a 7.
Because sometimes I have a friend and she goes, Margaret, sometimes when you're talking, it stresses me and my shoulders go up around my ears. And I'm like, I am so sorry that I did that to you. Yeah. But now I know.
But now you know, and you don't find it offensive if that happens.
I'm like, thanks for telling me that.
Yeah. And then if they know that about you, they can give that grace.
Yeah. And then if someone wants to go on an adventure, they know who to call.
Oh, yes.
Calls at the drop of a hat.
Road trip with Margaret.
Road trip. Yeah, sure. I'll do that. What time are we leaving? We'll work out the details later. So, yeah, but if for someone that wants everything planned out and all the details lined up before you make the first move.
Grayson's raising his hand. Grayson. You guys can't see this, but our sweet 6 is raising his hand.
Grayson's raising his hand because he has to have a plan before he starts.
A plan for his plan.
That's right. So just this morning, we were sitting around the table here before we started recording. And what was it that was said? And I all of a sudden had this aha. It helped me to just understand.
I said that. I'm a worst scenario thinker because I know I panic when things go wrong. So I'm like, I try to plan ahead for all the scenarios. So if it happens, I can just react and I don't have to panic.
Right.
But often you create scenarios that never happen. That's what I realize that I don't want to do.
But, you know, you have them in case you need them.
Yes. And you had an aha moment. Yeah, like that helped you understand Grayson or maybe someone else on the team.
It helped me to understand Grayson. Because my mind started going to instances.
Yes.
That helps me to understand his response.
Right. And which gives you more patience. And that is, I know I've shared this before, but that is why I started the Enneagram journey as a leader. Because I had a staff member who I loved, cherished, but I did not understand their responses and their reactions. And it was stressful for me.
Yeah,
it was very stressful. And when I discovered their Enneagram type, it was, I mean, ahas and light bulbs just went off. And I could be more patient, more understanding. This person was a type 6, and I needed to just sit and listen to their fears and know that as a type 2, they didn't intend for me to fix them. That stress could be relief for me. I didn't have to fix all of them. They just needed me to listen and not belittle their fears.
Yeah.
Because sometimes as a type 2, I'm like, I mean, what's wrong? Come on, let's just fix it. There's nothing wrong. Let's go. I mean, I want to just say, trust Jesus and move on. And then, and my intention is to encourage, but that person felt belittled. Now that was an aha moment for me.
Yeah.
And we worked very closely and we needed to have that.
Yeah.
Whereas also her understanding me and knowing I do not intend that. I simply want to encourage and, you know, relieve your fears.
Mm. Yeah.
So you see that understanding that can happen and that patience it brings and how it relieves stress in the workplace. So
And isn't it often, it's the humanness we've been talking about that, what's the big deal? Like,
oh,
what,
yes.
You know, what, yeah. What's wrong with them? And we don't ask what's wrong with us because we don't think the same.
Well, I say a lot of times in training, have you ever walked away from someone and thought, oh, how in the world do they think that? Where did they come up with that? And then I said, have you ever stopped and thought, what did you leave them thinking? Or have you looked in the mirror and thought, what impression am I leaving? Mm. And I will tell you, I continue to learn as I train others and as I deepen my understanding. It just, to be very honest, it just makes me so aware of my desperation for Jesus and his just work in me. And I'm so very thankful that he doesn't quit the work. Mm-hmm. But what it is, I tell folks, when I do a introductory training for this to help them grow and be aware, it's introductory. I have been a certified Enneagram coach for, almost 2 years, and I learn something every time I turn around. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I love to use is each Enneagram type has a path they go to in stress. Mm-hmm. And I always tell folks when I'm training, this is a rumble strip. And this has been a huge rumble strip for me. I wish, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like on the road when you hit that little thing and it says,
like
hit
a warning.
Last night. Yeah, when it does and you're like, oh, correct. Oh, get back in the middle of the road. So that's exactly what that's been for me. And
it's so good.
I'm a 2 and I go to an 8 in stress. And I go to an ugly 8 in stress. And so when I start to get bossy, when I start get demanding, when I start getting more aggressive, I know that's my rumble strip. Right. That's my, and it's usually in my own house, in my own kitchen with
that's where my mind was.
With my own people. Right. I mean, you guys have worked with me so closely over the years. You may have seen that a bit in me, but nothing like my family has seen it. Right. And so I've learned, I wish I would have known this so long ago, but God's timing is beautiful. But when I start to do that, Michael say, do you need a nap? He knows me. He can say it too now, but I know, oh, I need to pause. I need to take a pause and say, where is that coming from? What is this? Do I need to take a minute, go be by myself, have some prayer, or do I need to take a walk? But it's a rumble strip. It's a realization.
That is so good.
Of the why. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I go to a 1.
Yes.
And
you get perfectionistic on us, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I'm already there. I don't have to go anywhere, do I?
Oh, Grayson!
No, I mean,
what's a 6 go to?
A 6 goes to a 3 in stress. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. A 6 goes down.
What is that?
And then you get to where you can be workaholic. You get over-engaged. You get to where you want to just work, 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 fix, fix, fix.
Yeah. I read something. Margaret and I were doing some podcast training, and it said something about, you know, when you're trying to, I think of when I try to schedule people, it said something like you're like a dog with a bone.
Yes,
you can't rest until you got it.
Over-dutiful.
Yes.
But you get perfectionistic.
I do. And the thing that it shows up in me the quickest is if there is a pile of stuff, it's going to be gone. I'm going to clean something. And, you know, I find that now, you know, I love the rumble strip. Mm-hmm. That's really good. That I don't think I'll forget that one because it's very obvious to me. Something's going to be really clean or. It's just I get into the details, which is not my strength, especially when you're angry.
Right.
You're not at your best.
Well, it goes to that. It's that unhealthy spot.
Yeah.
And then you have to. And that's the other thing I talk about a lot is the pause. I think the Lord has given me that in training and to talk about. We're never going to realize and become more self-aware and then aware of others if we don't pause. And that has been really significant to teams. I had no idea how significant it would be, but the Lord did. And I realize how hard a pause is for me.
Yeah.
But realizing when you start to go through that stack of whatever and saying, okay, wait a minute, what brought me to this? Why do I need to get this done right now? And then even the people you work with, if they recognize it, and I work a lot with teams and classrooms and leadership teams and all that. And I say, when you recognize that in someone, you need to say, I can tell that this is going on with you. Is there any way I can help or do you just need some time?
Yeah.
And being able to recognize that in each other creates safety and trust.
Yeah. I have a specific memory, and this was before I knew about the Enneagram. Mm-hmm. But when I would be preparing to have a group of people to the house, and every corner of the house was going to be clean.
My husband calls that party Angela, party mode Angela. Yeah.
And,
except mine gets ugly, yours gets clean.
And you know, our girls would say, No one cares if it's, you know, no one cares about that. And, but I did.
Yes.
And the Lord has helped me. I've hosted a life group for, since what, 2012. Most of the semesters have been at our house, and I got over that.
Yes.
And my mom had a plaque that said, our house is clean enough to be healthy and dirty enough to be happy.
Oh, I love that. I hope somebody gave you that plaque.
No, I don't know where that ended up. I don't remember seeing it even at sale. So
proof you're living there, right?
That's right.
It is.
That's
it's
right.
Proof that you're doing life. That's
yeah.
right.
And the other thing that's come to my mind, Angela, is as humans, if there's a disagreement or if there's something being done in a different way, our selfishness is to do it our way. It's Frank Sinatra, you know? And
absolutely.
I did it my way. So in life and in this place we're living, in this world that is wild right now, I don't know what else to call it.
It is.
Wild. I think about the people knocking my fists together.
The tension.
The tension, the arguments, and just thinking about having a conversation, understanding who we are and who that person is.
Yes.
It can
be a game changer.
Game changer. Like, this helped my family to communicate. It helps teams. It helps families. It just helps us to understand that just because someone doesn't think like us don't mean they're weird or they think differently. And the world is a better place because we think differently.
Yes.
If we can find a common ground and have a conversation.
Right.
It's such an opportunity for believers to understand other believers.
Yes.
Right.
To grow and to understand. Well, Margaret, I will tell you that every training I sit in, whether it is workplace, ministry, whatever it is, people are always thinking about their significant others. You know, whether
they're doing it right now.
Boyfriend, girlfriend, or their spouses, wherever they are in that. I've had a couple engaged couples, and it is priceless. It is hilarious. But I will tell you, I've been married to Michael for 25 years. We are the most extreme opposite people. I mean, I know. If you know us, you know. You're laughing right now. But I know that the Lord brought us together for such purpose. But I will tell you that as we've understood the Enneagram, now he'll tell you, nothing nice is said about eights. I mean, he will just, and I've had that happen to me in training. But I say, you know what? People desire, if I could be as confident as you, if I could make a decision as solidly as you, I would, I mean, good grief, I'd pay money. You know what I'm saying? People don't, the terms make eights feel like, because you know, sometimes there's a misconception that they're bullies or whatever, but it's that understanding. And I will tell you, it has helped me to understand in my own longing to be loved and appreciated in the way that I want it. It's helped me to understand it's not true that he doesn't love me sometimes. He just does it differently. And so when I would normally get my feelings hurt and pout or, you know, whine for a little bit because he didn't do what I thought he should do to show me, mm-hmm. it has given me beautiful understanding of him and not making it something that it's not.
Right.
Often, we so often make something up in our heads because of our longings and our desires. Mm-hmm. And then there's a mess.
Yeah.
There's a brokenness that's unavoidable.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's really helped us tremendously.
Yeah. Well, that's really good insight. And I just feel like those listening today are probably having their own ahas. I remember saying one time, I never thought it before, that it just came out of my mouth. Would I want to go home to me every day?
It's beautiful. Good question.
So I asked that of our listeners. Would you want to go home to yourself? Is that like, how are we using the gifts that God has given us? And I'm speaking to myself right now. How do we do that and honor the Lord and those that he's put in our life? So we said we were talk about Bible study. And so I will.
We'll have to have you back.
We'll have to have you back. He's like,
I would
we're
love
done.
It.
We'll do another session in the future if you'll come and sit with us again. This is good. This is
Thanks
good. I think
all.
These things help,
yeah. love
help us.
All.
It's helped
thank
me
you.
Today. Yeah. Yeah. Rumble strip. I'll never yeah. forget it.
Angela, thank you for joining us today for today's broadcast. It's been great to have you.
Thank you, Grayson. It's always a joy.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as we've talked with Angela Cole today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.